Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
One of the amazing things with this program is that each week there's just another wonderful guest that just could share with us some really inspiring things about their own life and the mission that the Lord's calling them to. And this week we're really happy to have Father Simon Lobo.
Hey, Ralph. Thanks for having me.
Okay. It's good to have you. And Father Simon is a member of a religious order called the Companions of the Cross. But I thought before we get to the order you belong to, could you just tell us a little bit about your own life, your own story?
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, I wanted to start going back, speaking of my parents, in fact. So they both immigrated from India and came to the Toronto area. They came separately. In fact, they grew up about 5 miles from each other in the Mumbai area. Oh. and then met in Toronto. So it's kind of the perfect makings for a Bollywood film or something,
yeah.
Right?
And maybe we should start breaking out into song.
That's right. Different outfits and the whole thing. But what happened, the reason I mentioned them, in their university years, they experienced the wonderful grace of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? And
what is that, being baptized in the Holy Spirit?
So it's, we hear about it in the New Testament all over the place. Jesus says, right before he ascends, I want you to wait in the city. If you remember, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he's referring to Pentecost, this amazing grace of a stirring, an awakening within a person, maybe even somebody who's already a believer, that receives something new.
Yeah. So we all have received the Holy Spirit in some way in baptism and confirmation, but and your parents were Catholics, so they're already baptized and confirmed.
Lives.
So what they experienced was some kind of like awakening or something of the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Which changed things. It took them from a kind of a cultural Catholicism to a place where they really owned it, and they became disciples. They became followers of Jesus. Right?
Isn't that fantastic to have parents like that?
Well, I mean, a lot of people, they look at our family. I'm the eldest of four. My brother was actually a full-time lay minister on a campus with Catholic Christian Outreach in Ottawa. My sister was with she did a lot of time with Madonna House and went even to India, worked with the Missionaries of Charity for a bit. Yeah. My youngest sister and her husband are also pro-life advocates. Like, they've been arrested and everything, you know?
Wow, so, what a blessed family.
Yeah.
A family of disciples.
And I think it comes back to my parents early on, in their decisions, their careers, their where they're going to live, where they're going to worship, it was about how do we make Christ the center of this, right? And so for myself, I think having a full deck of cards, you know, going into it and lots of blessings growing up, a good parish. We started going to the parish where I know you know Father Bob Bedard, the founder of the Companions.
Yeah.
I met him at the age of six. Mm. So he gave me my first communion at the next year and I believe that was 1989, and then 20 years later, 2009, I was ordained a priest with the Companions. So, I mean, a lot happened between that time.
You know, a lot of students, a lot of young people come from a good family, but somehow reject it, but you didn't, you got the grace to stay with it, not reject it.
Yeah, well, I think one of the gifts was having a really good youth group through those high school years.
Oh, yeah.
So lots of peers who, it was almost like, okay, well, being Catholic, being Christian, doing more than just going to church.
Other young people were doing it with you,
it's like this is normal. This is fun.
Yeah.
And so that was a blessing. And then one key moment was at the age of 18. I was on a retreat, and I had gone through my whole life. The one lie that I had believed throughout was, if I want people to accept me and believe me, that's what I really want. I want people to like me. If I want that, the way I can make that happen is I just have to to work hard. If I mm-hmm. try hard at stuff, people will like me. And so by the end of high school, I had achieved that, you know, straight A's. I was the president of my high school. I was a lifeguard, the captain of the water polo team. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
And then I dated this girl the summer before my last year, and then she dumped me, which was devastating for me. And that March, we did a retreat at our church, like a 4-day intensive March break retreat. And it was the second day of that retreat. I was a leader, kind of a sub-level leader. And turns out this girl was invited to be on the team with me. And, we can be adults. We can be mature about this whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, she said something to me on day two, and it just bothered me.
Yeah.
Right. So at the end of the day, the head leader said, I want you to go home and pray with Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It is not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in Christ Jesus. Hmm. And so it just so happens I live, my parents' house is in Ottawa, right by this little waterfall. So it's a special spot. And it's March in Canada, so there's snow everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm walking out and I'm mad still. But by a sheer act of the will, it is not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. It is not I who breathes, but Christ who's breathing through me. Mm. It is not I trudging through the snow, but Christ with me. And I got to the falls, and if you can imagine these beautiful waterfalls, instead of stopping, I went right down to the bottom, and the river continues on, but there's this little eddy pool, I guess, of suds and pollution and whatever else. And I just sat down there because somehow that was reflecting this.
Mm-hmm.
And I maybe had the first honest prayer I've ever had in my life. Mm. I was just talking out loud to Jesus. And I just said, I've got all this stuff that's right in my life, the marks, the job, the whatever. And this one conversation, and it just bothered me so much.
Yeah.
I feel so void. And something clicked. I realized the way that I had been trying to earn people's love,
mm-hmm.
In all of my human relationships, I was trying to do that with God as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, if I'm
pray
this
God
rosary,
will like me,
God
people
will,
like
if
me.
I help with this youth group, if I sing in this choir, then God will love me.
Yeah.
And I finally said, Jesus, is it possible for you to love me right now the way that I am,
mm-hmm.
even feeling broken?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately I was overcome with a profound sense. I knew that I was loved.
Wasn't that wonderful?
I got back up. I went to the falls, and you know how there's a spray that comes off the fall. It just struck me in the face, and it was so refreshing. It was like being baptized anew.
Yeah,
no, that's the way I describe it. And so that was the beginning of something profound. I went off to university that September, and I was studying a pre-med degree. Seriously thinking about medicine, and I at the same time I'd met this lovely girl while at World Youth Day in Rome, and so. We were keeping in touch and just head over heels for this. I mean, she was Catholic. She knew the Lord. She was when she would sing, it was like the angels were singing.
Wow.
Anyway, and she just radiated. But it was that again about a year after that conversion experience that I went home to Ottawa, and I bumped into Father Bob again. Just unexpectedly, and he sort of said, Simon, my boy, we should have a chat sometime. So I said, well, Father, why don't we sit down right now, knowing full well what his intentions were.
Uh-huh.
And I said, honestly, Father Bob, you know, I'm doing quite well in school right now. I think I might have a shot at med school. There's this wonderful woman in my life, and he knew her, and he could attest to, and he just, you know, but I was convinced. I said, I want to do the Lord's will, whatever that is. And he just kept affirming me, and he said, make sure you do his will, because that's where you'll find peace and joy. And 2 days later, I was praying, and I simply said, I wrote the blank check. I said, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. And I say yes to that thing even before knowing what it is. Mm-hmm. And then no sooner had I said that, I tacked on, and if you want me to be a priest, I would love to do it. Mm. And again, that experience, I was just overcome with a sense of peace. I mean, the words were out of my mouth before I'd even known what I had said.
Yeah.
I was almost looking over my shoulder. Did anybody else hear that?
Yeah. Did I just say that?
Yeah. But I knew something had happened that day. And basically, I decided to further discern this, I have to join the seminary. And I did. And the companions were the obvious choice for me, having grown up with them. So.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the companions.
Okay, so a community founded in 1985. My family started going to St. Mary's in 87, so very, very much grew up with them. There's four pillars to the spirituality. So we are Eucharistic. We love the Mass, adoration. We're Marian. We're consecrated to Mary. We pray the Rosary. We are faithful to the magisterium of the Church, all of her teachings. And we're charismatic, which maybe is the somewhat unique aspect. We really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to be a part of renewing the Church and giving us the power and the gifts to do that. And we live an intentional brotherhood, a common brotherhood together. And finally, our mission is evangelization.
Great. And where are you located in your...
So Ottawa's the home base, Toronto, Halifax, which is Eastern Canada, Houston, Texas, and Detroit, Michigan.
Tell us how you came to be in Detroit.
Well, I got a call from Father Scott McKeag, our general superior, and it was the last thing that I wanted to do. It was February 2011, 10 years after my call to the priesthood, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was in one of these moments where I finally felt I had to surrender it. And I said almost this exact same prayer, Lord, if you want me to go to Detroit, I would love to do it.
Why was it the last place you wanted to go?
Well, you know, being from small town Ottawa, just hearing everything about...
Big bad city.
Yeah. I mean, I was afraid I'd have to get like a Kevlar, you know, clerics and stuff like that.
And
I'd be carjacked every other weekend and, you know. But, you know, it turned out to be a tremendous blessing to be here.
And you're not the only companion that came here, right? Yeah. There's a whole group of you came.
Exactly.
Right?
The first year there was a half a dozen of us.
Yeah. And I know a bunch of your seminarians now are at the seminary where I teach, a Sacred Heart Major Seminary. Where
they love it, which is, great. You know, somebody said, what seminarian speaks highly of their seminary? It's almost like being doing a prison term for most people, but they genuinely love it.
That's a real enrichment for us, yeah, to have you there.
Praise God.
Good.
It was an adjustment at first because I came from a parish in Ottawa where there were, I would preach to, you know, over 1,000 people over a weekend, let's say. Mm-hmm. And then here, I was lucky if I was getting 20 people out to Mass. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, I remember one Sunday, I think a dozen poor souls showed up for Mass.
Yeah, I want to say it's a big university.
And it's, 30,000 students. So where are the... And I felt convicted by the Lord, start this event called the Upper Room. It involved adoration and worship and a teaching component, fellowship. And the first time I did it, 12 people came. And I thought, well, I was hoping for more, but I know somebody else started with 12. So.
Yeah.
And then week two, 6 people came. And then week three, 5 people came.
Oh.
And I think, this is not looking good. So finally, there were 2 things that I think really broke through. One was October 6, 2011. Father Bob Bedard passed away, and so we all went back to Ottawa. And I think we lost a great priest, and we gained an incredible intercessor because of that. And I really have felt his prayers. And the second thing was Sacred Heart Seminary hosted a Life in the Spirit seminar. And I thought to myself, well, why don't I try and drag a few students along with me kicking and screaming?
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, 25 of them showed up.
Wow.
And I was like, and most of them had a profound experience of the Lord.
Wow. And this is helping people to really open up to the power of the Holy Spirit, just like your parents did.
That same experience of being baptized in the Spirit.
Having our graces of the sacraments renewed in us in a very strong, effective way.
Yeah. It's almost like in seminary, first couple of years of priesthood, getting so busy and complicated, and whatever, I forgot about that simple grace.
Yeah.
The Spirit wanting to stir people and wake them up.
Yeah.
And so I started to see that over and over again. I mean, we went from, I would say, at the beginning, 5 people who were really committed to 75
wow.
by the winter
wow.
who were in small group faith studies.
Wow, is that tremendous?
And I mean, numbers aside, what I was seeing is almost on a weekly basis, I'd say an average of one person per week would have some kind of a conversion experience.
Mm.
Often at the upper room or afterwards we'd pray with them. And I mean, one girl, I remember we were praying over her and we stopped partway through and said, "Hey, you know, what's going on with you?" And she was just like, she couldn't even speak.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, it would take me 6 months to convince this girl that God loves her and
yeah.
has a plan for her or whatever. Well, God needed 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And another girl we prayed over, we prayed over her. She had a wonderful experience. She moved out of the center. Another guy moved into the center of the circle. We're praying over her. And then this first girl just has this beautiful word. She said, "You know, I see this owl soaring over you. Like, I think the Lord wants to give you wisdom."
Mm.
And I asked her later, I said, "Have you ever done that before? Has that ever?" She said, "No, I've never." And I thought to myself, in 5 minutes, she went from being on the receiving end of the Spirit
yeah.
to now she's imparting the Spirit to others.
Yeah.
And there was a guy, a huge football player, massive guy. He could break me in half with his pinkies for sure.
Yeah.
Well, he came out to this upper room and the Lord just smoked him. I mean, he was sobbing at one point. And I had a
similar experience when I was doing campus ministry at Michigan State University. Football player came into a prayer meeting. The Spirit of God fell on him. He started weeping and saying, "I love you, Jesus." And God does these things, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I know that I couldn't do that.
I know that for sure.
It's
the Lord sovereignly deciding to have mercy on somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I mean, we've seen a couple of physical healings, but a lot of interior healing.
Yeah.
And,
well, people are so wounded today, aren't they? Young people are really wounded. They really need the love of God, don't they?
They do. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some of these students, they're going off. I mean, one girl, she's got the gift of evangelization, no doubt. She's just contagious, whether she's at a party, whether she's tutoring her students, whether she's talking about Jesus.
Isn't that tremendous?
And
it's a little bit like what the popes have been calling for a new Pentecost in order to have a new evangelization. Like these students are experiencing a new Pentecost and they're starting to engage on their own energy with the new evangelization. That's sort of like what happened to the disciples. You know, they were hiding in the room and then they experienced the Holy Spirit and they went out and they wanted to tell others. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's really tremendous.
And I've gone back to some of the things that Father Bob has written, and he's talking about the renewal of the church through the renewal of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it so simply. Our chief strategy is this: personal conversion, discipleship, empowerment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we can bring people to a place where they meet the person of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then disciple them, teach them about prayer, teach them about the teachings of the church. And then before long, say, "Hey, I want to invite you to be part of the mission that Jesus has given each one of us
to
make disciples of the nations."
And I know the church is really welcoming your ministry. I know your order is approved by the Archbishop of Ottawa. And I know that the Archbishop of Detroit is so happy that you're here working in the Archdiocese. So it's really great to see the church welcoming you and the companions
mm-hmm.
and the prayer and the life of Father Bob Bedard, your founder, really kind of flowering like it is. Hey, Father Simon, it's just been great spending time with you today. I know some people might want to know how they can contact the Companions of the Cross. Do you have a website?
Sure. It's www.companionscross.org.
Companionscross.org.
You got
okay,
it.
Okay, great. Well, you know, we only have a little time left, but why don't you just speak to the people who are with us today and whatever's on your heart about lessons that they can apply to their own lives from what we've been speaking about today.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, for those of you, whether you're in some kind of a ministry, leading a ministry, or just in your own personal life, I think number one is you got to surrender. You got to surrender everything to the Lord. Whatever your plans are, whatever your hopes for your future, everything. Write that blank check. My parents did it. The fruit is there. I've tried to do it. Father Bob has taught us over and over again. We have to give God permission. So that's number one. The second thing is I've really been inspired, I think, in this last year to a new level of boldness. Be not afraid, I think, is a word that our popes have been speaking over and over again. And not only don't be afraid, but be bold for the Lord. And finally, I would say be a Holy Spirit opportunist. You know, look for the opportunities. Where is the Spirit moving? And go to them. You know, we had this great opportunity with the life and the Spirit at Sacred Heart. We now, anytime we can pray over people, whether it's at a restaurant, at a parking lot, once we prayed over somebody at a wake, not the dead person, but
yeah.
But you know, be a Holy Spirit opportunist. So just want to end with that same prayer. Send upon the church, O Lord, as at the beginning, a new Pentecost for our age.
Amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.